The media during the colonial period had always acted as the mouthpiece for the people. In some cases, the media is described as the voice of the voiceless. The media ensured that what the people of the then Gold Coast wanted was communicated to their colonial governors. Through the writings of the few but prolific journalists and editors, the media was able to inform, educate and entertain the people, as well as fight for their well-being and self-determination. General Sir Charles McCarthy established the first newspaper to act as the mouthpiece for the government. However, the paper in 1824 could not survive because Mr. McCarthy was killed by Ashanti warriors. It was not until 1885 that a Gold Coaster, Charles Bannerman, established the Accra Herald and later changed it to the West African Herald with James Hutton Brew as its proprietor and editor. The few media houses used their columns to propagate the message of self-government to the colonial administration, and this aided the people in understanding the urgency for self-governance. The involvement of the media in the country's politics became significant in the period between 1900 and 1939. Journalists like Dr. J.B. Dankwa were popularly referred to as a doyen in paper. The West African Times wrote extensively to fight for independence. Newspapers like the Daily Graphic and the Sunday Mirror were also formed in the 1950s. Ace journalist Kwesi Pratt speaks about the role media played in the struggle for independence.
It played an activist role in the struggle for national independence, with newspapers established by nationalist leaders, especially the Evening News, which was then edited and published by Nkrumah and his friends. After independence, newspapers like the Ghanaian Times and Graphic, the Evening News itself and others continue to play this activist role of mobilizing our people to reject the colonial yoke and to build a newly independent country within the framework of continental African unity.
In 1935, the then colonial governor, Sir Arnold Hudson, introduced electronic medium in Ghana, Station ZOY, in 1935. This later became the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. Rawlinson's regime was authoritarian and the media had no freedom. The late John Kublenu and Tommy Thompson were some of the audacious journalists to speak out, leading to their imprisonment, and subsequently lost their lives to the fight for media freedom. There are also others like Kweku Bako, Haruna Atta, who suffered incarceration. The nation had to live through this situation, an era often referred to as one of the culture of silence, until an opposition leader, Professor Edu Buahin, broke the silence at a lecture which condemned the situation at the time and gave the media a new lease of life until the transition from a dictatorial regime to constitutional governance in 1992. The president of the Ghana Journalist Association, Roland Afelmoni, was a journalist during the Rawlinson regime.
I happened to be a reporter with the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. It was very difficult working with a military regime. It was typical of the authorities not to tell them where you were going. A vehicle would just come and yours was to just jump on board. So as a young reporter, you had no choice but to dance to the team of officialdom. You were so careful and cautious, overly cautious, not to report in such a manner as to incur the anger of government. I remember there was a story we carried about Kenya's election, and J.J. Rawlinson was ostensibly offended. He asked whether we're setting an agenda that Ghana should follow the Kenyan example by going multi-party. The GBC was the dominant broadcasting station. One of our seniors, Ruby Abe, happened to be on duty, and he's now late. And we were told that they had to hide under a table. On the day of the coup, we were supposed to be on afternoon duty, and certainly safety first. So we were free to go to work, and it was announced on radio. They mentioned our name, those who were supposed to be on duty. And so we had to go to work reluctantly. And around 8 p.m., the soldiers came around to sack all of us.
In the electronic media, however, the GBC enjoyed a monopoly until 1996. It took the bravery of people like Dr. Reku Brobe to dare the status quo by setting up Radio I, to which the government responded by seizing his equipment, claiming he had no license to operate. This Mr. Brobe challenged by going to court and having the ruling in his favor. This singular act paved the way for the establishment of the first private radio station, Joy FM.
The important thing was that to get a really democratic Ghana, you needed potential voters to be given information from different sources and by different parties and with different perceptions. That was the whole essence of Radio I. We took a frequency, 96.2, because we felt that we needed to make an impact on the election 96. We were only 0.5 megahertz from GBC. We had actually had a law in Ghana called the Frequency Law from 78, which technically allowed for the establishment of independent station. But anytime anybody tried to establish it, government found a reason not to allow it. But in the 92 constitution, there was an article that said you don't need a license to establish a radio station. So that was for me the important thing, that I didn't need to go and ask anybody for permission. The challenges were that the fact that I had to transmit from my bedroom, the government of the day tried very hard to subvert what we were doing. A huge lot of impediments were put in our way, but we fought all those impediments, and we had very, very good lawyers, one of whom is now the president of Ghana. People will criticize you, and I remember the word they used to use for me was controversial. I don't applaud myself, but there's no regret. If I'd done nothing at all in Ghana except that, I'll be happy. I don't regret at all.
Ghanaians, however, witnessed the full growth of the private media from 2001 after the repeal of the criminal libel law, particularly with rapid expansion of the electronic media. Currently, in virtually every district of Ghana, there is a local radio station and newspapers with national reach. Access to television stations is not hard to come by either. Ghana has been commended internationally for its overall democratic credentials. International election observers lauded the Ghanaian media for its tremendous coverage of the 2016 election. Today, journalists are struggling for the passage of the Right to Information Bill. The bill was drafted in 1999 but has still not been passed by Parliament. It is obvious that the bill is suffering from some behind-the-scenes setbacks.
My name is Rita Ampabin, broadcast journalist. The delay of this bill, if you move to a policymaker, you start asking certain questions, he can decide to give you that information or not. It will not be out of place if current government passes this bill.
My name is Isaac Palos Clote, acting news editor from the Two Television. The right to free information cannot put Ghana in trouble. It can only make Ghana better.
My name is Akwene Avoajaja, and I work with Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. The Right to Information Bill, we need it to move our work to another level.
A lot of the times I have seen and interviewed politicians and they tell you, I am not obliged to tell you X, Y, Z. There is so much rot in our system and the media is supposed to shine their lights on these. But some of the tools that will help us do this is the Right to Information Bill.
My name is Nanaya. Whether writing information bill or not writing information bill, it can never affect me.
Is my name. I work with GBC, the radio division. Sometimes getting officialdom to really speak out becomes a problem. For instance, there have been instances where you need information and they keep tossing you up and down. I think the Right to Information Bill will really enhance my work in the sense that it will be backed by law, so you have every right to demand it.
My name is Kwekwentribu Esiakon. I'm with TV Africa. When I was young, I started listening to JBC One, the Amamuka Crest, the Amamu Penny, the Sechreboateng, the Boosian Ponses, the Fia Kunedus. Woe unto you when you make a little mistake, it turns into something else. But now, the media houses are able to say so many things. The delay of the Right Information Bill is affecting the media in the country.
Ghanaians are happy there is media freedom and commends the media for its works. However, they believe the media needs to be reoriented.
If I'm to grade them, I'll give them 60%. Then the 40% is for their shortcomings. Sometimes you may see a headline that is scary, but when you read the story, you realize that it's nothing to write home about. Ghana is now going to celebrate our 60th anniversary. If media can also improve, it will help us.
The media is doing well. They help us to know what's going on around us, but the only problem is that they exaggerate.
They are doing very, very well. Certain things that we, the lame men, we don't know, they let us know of it.
Media pluralism is one of the tools that enhances our democracy, but it should not be used as a weapon to destroy the hard-earned reputation of others. The media needs to be reoriented. That is why I always listen to GBC and then read Daily Graph. Even sometimes they delay in bringing out some of the news, but the facts are still there.
As Ghana celebrates its Diamond Jubilee, we encourage all hands to be on deck to help improve the work of the media while hoping that the Right to Information Bill will become a reality soon.